The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Rossbridge Animal Hospital's owner. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. I am Tony Curry. We do this show. You know, I love this show. Can I tell you why? See, so we do like 13, 14 different shows here on Tony Curry Radio. And of course, you can hear this show. This has been one of our longest running shows. And we run it 5 days a week and can also watch it here on our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio and wherever you get your favorite podcast. Normally, before I do a show, I get a little nervous. Just like I do when I get on stage, when I do speaking engagements, I get the butterflies. I don't do the Barbara Streisand puke in my brains out thing, but I do get a little edgy, and it keeps my, for some reason on this show, I know that I'm in the capable hands of the best veterinarian that there is available out there at the Rossbridge General Hospital. And pretty much I can just go into the show blind and know that we can pull off 30 minutes of great talk about pet and pet care. So how about that?
I'm full of hot air, that, I guess.
That being said, I do prepare ultimately for this show. Today, we're talking about dog fighting, dog chewing, dog living, and hybrid dog killing. I don't know if you saw this story. A baby killed by a dog in the state of Alabama. It just happened earlier today, and I'll tell you why coming up in a few minutes. Brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics, open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 6. Toys from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, comics from 60s on up, 145 Citation Court, and also, of course, Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for nearly 50 years down there in beautiful Homewood. To Seth Cosby and his entire crew, as a matter of fact, if you watch our show on ABC 3340 this Saturday morning from 10:30 to 11 o'clock, and we talk some college football, get ready for the CFP, and of course our Final Four. You'll see Seth on there with his Cayman Crocodile. He's going to bring the big dog coming up this Saturday, so make sure you check out the show. It should be a large time. How you doing, brother? Everything good? Happy holidays. We're in December. Everything good?
Yeah, man. Christmas time coming up, and you know, just holding that Santa thing over the kids' head every time they do something wrong. Santa's watching.
I know. He's always watching. He's watching my daughter the other night. She's like, isn't it kind of creepy that Santa's watching while I'm sleeping? Isn't that kind of weird? Because what could I possibly be doing while I'm sleeping? I said, I don't know, but he's watching. He sees everything.
My 5-year-old asked me driving down the road yesterday. I think that she kind of has, she's a little confused, like Santa versus God. Like, you know, she's like, is God or is Santa in the car right now, Daddy? No, he's not in the car. He's not always with you, but he's always watching. Well, how? That must be cameras, drones. I don't know.
They do have a lot of same similarities and of course, believing in Santa, it does have some biblical references to it as well from a saint standpoint. So there's something to think about there. All right. Dogs fighting, dogs chewing, dogs living, and a hybrid dog killing. Which one you want to get into first?
Let's save the worst for last.
Okay. Which one you want to do?
Let's do the most violent one last. Let's do the killing last.
All right.
You choose.
Let's start with dogs fighting. Instead of doing emails this week, we're going to get into four different stories, and I want to get your thoughts on each one of them. The Panola County Sheriff's Office reportedly yesterday busted a dog fighting ring in Como on Saturday night. This is in Mississippi. Deputies on the scene say they encountered a large group of people who fled multiple vehicles. Of course, there was dog fighting going on there. Deputies reportedly confiscated 29 dogs and dog fighting equipment. Many of the dogs were in various stages of health and had scars from previous fights. As of right now, no one's been arrested. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. First of all, how this affects these dogs. What do you think will happen to these dogs? And can they be reformed in order to be placed in families if they've already been in some type of dog fighting ring? Just give me your thoughts on those things.
I think that they could have a future either way. You know, I think they could have a future with people, potentially a future with other dogs. I would be really cautious with other dogs. I think they would have a better chance with people. You know, because believe it or not, when it comes to people, these dogs that are fighting other dogs, they may love people because the people give them food, the people take care of them. Now, they may not be cared for super well, or it may surprise you how well they were cared for by people outside of being fought. you know, because it's almost like a prize fighter. Mm-hmm. If you've got a dog that's winning, you're going to take care of it.
Sure.
You know, if you've got a heavyweight champ, he's going to get good training. He's going to get good food. He's going to be well cared for. Now, I don't know if that's the case, and I'm not advocating for what's going on. It's awful. It's terrible. It should never, ever happen. But I think that these dogs probably have a better future when it comes to being around people than other dogs. But you have to be really cautious when you introduce yourself to dogs that have a history like this. But some of these dogs end up being really sweet. You know, they're anxious, they're fearful because of what they've been through. So, you know, if you can get them in the right environment, definitely initially one where there's not any other dogs, you know, maybe it could work out.
I'm not stupid. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, as far as what's going to happen to them, you know, I would be shocked if they didn't try to rehome them, find a home for them, put them through a rescue of some kind.
I would be stupid to say that I don't believe that there are dog fighting rings that still exist. This is the first one that I've actually seen that made news probably since the Michael Vick thing. When that was, what, 10 years ago, 7-8 years ago?
It was longer than that. I mean, I bet that Michael Vick thing was probably
at least 10 years
ago, right? Close to 13 or 14 years ago, I would bet.
And the ironic thing there is he's still the only player in NFL history to get two $100 million deals, and he got a second one after that dogfighting ring. Everyone said there's no way he's going to be able to play again, and of course he did, and he's reformed himself, and now, of course, he's an advocate for dogs and dog safety. How relevant is this? Certainly in rural areas of this country, we see this more prevalent than we do in other areas. This was in Mississippi. I'm not saying that Mississippi is lower than Alabama, but I'm sure there's a dog fighting ring somewhere in this state that we don't know about. But do you ever hear anything about it? Do any animals ever come through your veterinarian business, or do you know of any other vets that have to deal with animals that are being treated like this?
We see dog fights, but no one's getting paid for it.
Yeah. Well, you don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all accidental, but you know, you know that I'm from rural Alabama, mm-hmm. and, you know, in Northwest Alabama. And you know, I've never seen evidence of anything, but you always hear stories, you know, about stuff like this. And, you know, this person's got this going on in their yard or whatever, or, you know, you hear about cockfighting still,
sure.
You know, and I know that's not what, you know, we're not talking about.
I know where they are too.
Yeah. You know, it's not far off. It's mm-hmm. still animal abuse.
Yeah.
So it happens. And you're right. It's in rural areas. Like I said, where I grew up, I'm sure it was happening somewhere. Unfortunately, I never saw it.
Yeah. We always talk about mob mentality. Whenever you get a large group of people together and they're protesting and all of a sudden things just get out of control, I can use the insurrection of January 6th, if you want to use that as a reference point, where people just start doing things like, I can't believe I got out of control. Dogs do that too, right? And I had a situation where I had two dogs attack my smaller Havanese. Everyone got along. All four dogs got along. There was a treat involved. There's usually sometimes food involved. But, you know, I go in the backyard and I hear my Havanese screaming, and I've got one dog that's got him by one leg and the other one's got him by the other leg, and they're pulling him apart. And I believe that if I had not, you know, intervened, he probably would have gotten killed. And I brought him in. He needed stitches by you. How often does that happen?
Pack mentality, herd mentality, whatever you want to call it, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So it's not just a made up deal. I mean, the reason they call it pack mentality is because animals do it, you know, and they run in packs. That's where it came from. I mean, I've seen examples of it. You know, it doesn't happen very often. We will see the occasional dog fight. But it doesn't happen often. But we saw one recently that was pretty serious, and it was in a nearby neighborhood where a couple of dogs. I guess I'm gonna blur the face of the dog. You know, I guess maybe I'll save their breeds. But they were a breed of dog that is typically known for being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
They were not on leashes. They were not in a fence yard. And our client was walking his dog past, and these two ginormous dogs, I mean, tried to eviscerate this, this dog. And so, anyway, the dog ended up being okay. Had to go to the ER and then came to see us later. Had a bunch of puncture wounds, had a bunch of drains in so that the wounds could drain. We had to treat him for infection. I'm convinced that that dog had, like, seriously had PTSD from this accident, because for several months after, the dog was a nervous wreck.
Wow.
And it's kind of gotten back to where it's, you know, leveled off. It's not as anxious as it was when we first started seeing it, but that's, I mean, that's not a big pack right there. It's only two dogs, yeah. But you know, there's an example of it.
When you talk about a pack mentality, this is really interesting. We talk about the alpha dogs and the pecking order. Certainly I used to have chickens, and I used to see, you know, that we used to top of the pecking order, and there'd be one chicken that just would get the hell pecked out of it. I mean, and almost to the point where it almost got killed. And it's like, that's the cycle of life. That's what the pecking order is. Yeah. If you have, say, three dogs, and you know what the order of the alpha dog is, can it ever change? And if it does change, if one dog goes from the alpha to another dog being the alpha over a period of time, how does that change?
It doesn't usually change.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, it doesn't usually change if you keep the same dogs in the pack.
Yeah.
If you introduce a new dog, then maybe that dog can assert its dominance over the dog that is currently in control.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have, you know, any number of dogs, they're going to establish that, and it's going to stay like that unless you introduce a new one.
Yeah. Okay. From dog fighting to dog shooting. This is a crazy story here. A car dealership in Harris County, Texas yesterday, dealing with major losses after two stray dogs destroyed at least five of their cars. G Motors fell victim to destructive stunts of the two canines, who left damaging rain from $100,000 to $350,000. Surveillance footage obtained by the news outlet showed the dogs ripping fenders and bumpers, as well as leaving unsightly bites on the cars. Shockingly, this was not a one-off incident. The dogs wreaked havoc on the vehicles overnight on three separate occasions between November 6th and November 18th. The dealership sales manager expressed a shock, saying, "You just never think of a dog as a kind of power to tear up a car like that." What's going on here? I mean, a one-time deal? I mean, I've seen videos of dogs getting around cars and that mob mentality, and next thing you know, they start. But what's going on with this dealership? And we're talking three or four different situations. What is going on?
Usually the car attacks the dog.
Yeah, you know, right?
The cars usually win. In this case, that's not what happened. You know, I have no clue. It's like Cujo, you know, it's like the cover of Stephen King's book or the movie. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe they ran out of shoes to tear up at home, and so they moved on to bigger and better.
$350,000 worth of damage from two stray dogs? That's crazy.
Do they not have surveillance video? I mean, I would love to see this. Is it a used car lot, or is it like
it's a used car lot?
Not that it matters.
You can pull it up. Just pull up stray dogs attacking cars.
I mean,
it is crazy. I mean, and they look like they're rabid, like they've lost their flipping minds.
Maybe they are rabid. Did they catch the dogs?
I do not know.
Maybe they should have them tested for rabies.
What would cause an animal to do something like that?
Boredom, fear.
But that's another one of those things where it's just one dog. One dog's not going to do that, right? It'd have to be multiple dogs, correct?
I think when one goes, I think if you have one there, other ones are going to follow.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, especially if you're tearing up the bumpers, the dog's going to, that's the thing about dogs is I don't know why they do most of the things that they do, because if you tear something up, like for example, we had a dog come in last week and the owner said, well, he's been chewing on electrical cords and stuff. So could you see if he's got anything in his belly? And so we x-rayed him, and there's all kind of wires and springs and stuff just sitting in this dog's stomach. And I don't understand why, number one, they even start doing it. And then to continue doing it, like going back to these dogs that are chewing on the cars, you know, it hurts their mouths.
Sure.
You know, their mouths are totally cut up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know, maybe
dogs that used to chase cars when they were younger, and they finally see a car sitting in there and they're like, hey, there it is. I don't need to chase it. I can just chew it up. Maybe
they're going to get back at it.
I don't know.
That's probably the same make and model that hit me, you know, when I was puppy. And so now I'm going after it and I'm going to show who lost it. Hey, they probably peed on it too.
Well, there you have it.
They chewed it up and then they peed on it.
Dogs fighting, dogs chewing. And now our best story, and this is a nice story before we get into the ugly one here. Dogs living. This is when I read the story, I was like, and I'm glad you already read it too. I was like, is this real? Because this doesn't sound like it's a real story. There's excitement for dog lovers as a new drug looks to extend the lives of our large breed four-legged friends. Evidently, as a Sadorsky responded Monday to the news from a drug maker called Loyal, which said its new hormone medication works with a dog's insulin growth factor one. That's the hormone responsible for a dog's growth as well as accelerating its age. It's a healthy lifespan is what you want. You don't want a dog to live just longer. We want them to be healthy for their entire life. However, how this might new drug impact the quality of a life for your dog has not been known. Loyal, a San Francisco-based company, said earlier studies have shown mild and temporary gastrointestinal distress in dogs. The drug is an injectable, which would be given by a veterinarian every 3 to 6 months, which is an added expense expected to add approximately an additional year to a dog's lifespan. Please talk about this. You've read the story. What do you think?
Well, so the last line is, to me, is what jumps out the most, where it has not undergone clinical trials yet. So that's where you get your real results. And I think the story said that they hope to have it, hope to have their clinical trial done by 2025. And so once that's done, you know, I think that we'll know more about the side effects, because when new things like this come along that seem too good to be true, the first thing that I think about are the side effects. Because this isn't something to interrupt the growth factor. This article didn't get into this, but I'm going to assume that you're going to have to give these injections early on in the dog's life. It didn't go into it, but I don't think this is something that you're going to wait until the end of the dog's life. You know, let's say if the life expectancy is 13 or something. This isn't something you're going to start giving your dog when they're 12.
It's every 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, every 3 to 6 months, starting at who knows what age. The article didn't say. So, you know, there's to some degree when we breed dogs and when we try to get really big dogs or really small dogs, or we try to mix breeds to have, you know, certain aesthetics, you know, we're quote unquote playing God to some degree. You know, we're changing the genetic makeup of the dog. But you know, so is this. You know, we're giving them an injection to slow down their growth. How is that gonna affect the rest of the body other than just slowing down the aging process? And when you start messing with things like this, you're not gonna know for maybe a decade what it's actually done to the dog. No, I mean, if this is something you're going to have to give, for long periods of time, you know, I would think that this has been like in research and development for a while, especially if they're going to come to the table saying it's going to extend your dog's life by a year. So they have to have been, in my mind, for me to want to use this, they have to have been giving these to the dogs for at least 10 years, or else how would they know what the drug's going to do? And I also think it's just a very difficult thing to be objective about. How do you know it extends a dog's life by a year? Because you don't have two of the exact same dogs. It's not like you have, you know, it's just a tough claim. Like, how do you know the dog would have died a year earlier without these injections?
And to me, I don't know if it's worth the risk for one extra year. Now you're sitting there saying, well, golly, if a dog, you know, bigger breed, they don't live obviously as long. So maybe you're talking about a, you know, Great Dane or something that lives to be 8 or 9, or maybe a German Shepherd, maybe 10 or 11. You're talking a 10% longer life if you're adding a year. But if it was 2 to 3 years, maybe financially it would kind of make sense as a dog owner. And that's assuming that obviously the dog doesn't get heart disease or, you know, killed by something else that is totally unrelated to just old age. I don't know if that's a risk that you're willing to take. And it sounds like it's probably going to be something that's obviously not covered by insurance. It would be very expensive.
And also, I always when I'm reading these articles, I'm thinking, why don't we have this in human medicine?
Well, I listen.
Wouldn't we take this to the market for people first? And I understand in a lot of models for drugs, you know, animals are models.
Sure.
You test things on animals first. So I would, you know, this type of injection has probably been researched on small mammals long before it's been used in dogs, probably. And I'm purely speculating, but probably with the intent to at some point potentially introduce it to humans, I would think.
This is a super interesting question. Let me throw it to you. If you had to be injected with some type of youth or human growth hormone every 3 to 6 months from, say, the age of 5 to the days that you were on the earth, and it was going to buy you an extra 4 to 5 years of life, would you do it?
I don't think there's any way I would do it unless it had been around for like a generation.
I mean, we can't get people to get a COVID vaccination when the new COVID. Now we're asking people to get shots every 3 months for their entire life to live an extra 5 years. And that's assuming, obviously, that you don't get lung cancer or get hit by a car or drug overdose.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I don't know. I guess it's my science fiction, you know, love and love of horror. But I think that you're going to, like, what happens if I grow two heads? You know, what happens if my lungs suddenly serve twice as many pets of my body? You know,
you look like you came from Chernobyl or something.
Yeah, you'd be
two, you know. I don't think we could handle two Dr. Abs. I think that, you know, and this, we go stem cell, we can do, you know, I just, from a religious standpoint, I believe that God put us on this earth and he built our bodies as temples, and we do the best we can to take care of those. And when we start screwing with things like that, we ask for trouble. Now, if we want to start with our dogs, but again, it hurts, obviously, to get a shot. I've seen dogs get shots. They don't like shots any more than human beings do. We don't feel it, so we don't think they feel it. But why should I have to put my dog through 4 extra shots a year for 10 years to get an extra year of life out of it? I don't think that's fair to the animal. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, and I guess my biggest question is, I have a hard time figuring out how they know it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like how, because you don't know how long the dog's going to live anyway.
Yeah.
You have no clue. So how can you claim that it's going to extend your dog's life by X amount of days or months or years or whatever?
Yeah. Kind of crazy. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. We're going through some interesting stories here. Dog fighting, dog chewing, dog living. We're going to get into some dog killing coming up here. Brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 6. Toys from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Comics from 60s on up. 145 Citation Court. And also, of course, Ed's Pet World. They've been doing exotic pets for over 50 years. You want to talk about a great place. You're talking about Christmas gifts, man. Tarantulas, fish, chinchillas. My daughter's asking Santa Claus for a sugar glass. It ain't gonna happen, man. But I mean, it's nice to know that if Santa Claus was really in a very giving mood this year, that a sugar glider could be found at Ed's Pet World. It's not gonna happen, baby. I'm sorry. This is a really sad story, but it's kind of one of those what in the hell was I thinking story. A 3-month-old child is dead in Alabama from Chelsea, Alabama, right up the street. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office summoned to a residence local time last Thursday. Call reported an animal attacking involving an infant. Deputies, firefighters, and animal control officers responded to the scene. They realized that the animal was a wolf hybrid kept as a pet. The child was pronounced dead at the hospital due to injuries believed to have been caused by the animal. Other children were at the home at the time of the incident. They were all safe. So here we go. We've got Bubba living out in Chelsea, out in his trailer park, and he's taking on a wolf pup. As I guess is a pet animal, which, hey, sounds super cool. If I was living alone and I didn't have a family and I found a wolf puppy and I had seen enough Disney movies to think I could raise the thing and have it be a pet of mine, I may take that idea on. I may do that. I've had pet skunks. I've done all kinds of crazy things. But when you have a 3-month-old in the house, probably not the best idea. You could take the jungle out of the cheetah, but you can't take the cheetah out of the jungle. What's your thoughts on this? And you've told your story about dealing with giraffes. You've dealt with equestrians and horses and things like that. Just talk about the wild nature of animals when they're not domesticated.
You know, maybe if you live in Alaska, this is a good thing to do. Like you said, if you're, maybe if you're if you're afraid you're going to get eaten by a bear,
yeah,
you know, having a wolf hybrid is something cool to hang around with. But I mean, you know, I've got three kids and my kids are still relatively young, but as my kids were crawling around toddlers, I was nervous around dogs that I had had for 6 and 8 years.
Me too.
Because you have a really young baby who is going to crawl around the house and have no understanding of what that animal is. They don't understand that you can't pull on its tail or poke it in the eye. So even the most gentle of animals, if they're poked and prodded the wrong way, they're going to do something about it. And so to have an aggressive animal of any type when you have kids is, I mean, it's not that far off than just having a loaded gun, you know, on their bedside table. Like, I mean, that's a little bit hyperbole, but
you see
the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
I mean, a dangerous, aggressive animal around small children is a loaded gun.
Yeah. No, you're spot on. And again, I can't honestly say that it wouldn't be kind of cool to have, you know, if you found a wolf pup and you wanted to raise it. And I think that the idea is obviously if you raise something from the minute that it's anyone that's ever had found a baby squirrel or a baby bird and they think they can raise it to the point where, you know, it's going to be healthy and it's going to be domestic. You can't domesticate an animal like that. It's taken us thousands and thousands of years to domesticate the dog.
Keep it away from the kids. Like, keep the kids away from the animal. Keep the animal away from the kids.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think it's legal to own a wolf in the state of Alabama. I don't think you can do that. Would it be super cool to show your neighbors and stuff like that? I got a pet wolf. Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, you might as well get a coyote. And I've seen people keep pet deer. I mean, I know there's that story that dude's got the deer that, you know, it sleeps at the bottom of his bed every night. He brings the deer in and it runs out during the day and comes back at nighttime and sleeps in his bed. I mean, I just, you know, that's fine. But when you got kids, you know, all things are off the table.
Growing up, we mentioned it earlier in the show, growing up in Haleyville, Alabama, my across the street neighbor had pet deer. Like, I mean,
yeah, like real pet deer.
Real pet deer, and they were adults. And he had, it was like a 15-foot high fence all around his property. And his property went, I mean, the easement was, you know, maybe 8 feet from the road, and those deer would come right to the fence.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, people have interesting pets. But if you're going to do that, you need to take the proper precaution.
My good friend, Dr. Josh, he started feeding deer in his backyard. He had 20 to 25 deer a night. They were eating out of his hand. Had the worst flea infestation in his house. His wife was like, get those flipping deer out of here. I will shoot every one of them if you bring. But he got the worst flea infestation because they have no dogs, no cats. She's like, it came from those damn deer. Something to just keep in mind. They have fleas. So anything interesting happening at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital?
Man, kind of the most interesting thing was, I mentioned it earlier, there's a dog that ate a bunch of wire and springs and stuff. But probably the most interesting thing about that case was the dog was sick, but it had nothing to do with what it ate. The dog ended up having a liver shunt. And
what's a liver
that
shunt?
A liver shunt is either one large blood vessel or a series of smaller blood vessels that should have gone away as the dog developed in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason they don't. And so what these vessels do is they divert blood flow away from the liver so that the blood never goes into the liver. And so they will have, they'll be underweight. They can have some GI issues. They can eventually get to a point where they are neurologic and they're kind of stumbling around walking like they're drunk, basically. But it's kind of rare. And this was a larger dog. It can be fairly common in smaller breed dogs. I've seen more liver shunts in small dogs than big dogs. So this was an interesting case.
Well, it sounds like they could actually plug that dog in too. Sound like it had a lot of wires in it, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe he was getting ready for the holidays. Yeah. Maybe it was all eating.
Wind him up. Wind him up and watch him go.
Yeah, listen, I know that the holidays are here, and I know a lot of people like to board their animals for the holidays. Tell people how they can do that and how they can get in touch with you.
call us at 208-0301, or you can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook.
Let's catch up next week. We'll get back to some emails. I love you, brother.
Can't wait, man. Love you, too.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.